And greetings, everyone. This is Nicholas from Presence of God Ministry welcoming you to this week's Truth Provided broadcast, a remnant awareness program dedicated to revealing prophetic fulfillments of Antichrist as they are realized in historic as well as current events we see coming from the Vatican as well as other related sources today. Each week, I hope to illustrate the importance of investigating prophecy as it pertains to not only historic events but current events as well. On my site, www.remnantofgod.org, I have over 2,700 pages of facts exposing all that Antichrist would hope to hide from you or your loved ones. It's very possible it's over 2,800 pages now. Please understand that I am not called to attack the Catholic people. Prophecy directly identifies the popes of Roman Catholicism as Antichrist and not the individual Catholics therein. There are many sincere children of the Almighty Creator in all churches, including the Church of Rome. The prophecies are merely a collection of judgments, corrections, and revelations exposing the massive anti-Christian organization which has openly embraced paganism and by so doing has infected all religions of today. So, if you have any questions or comments you feel you would be a blessing to others, please feel free to call during the last half of the show at 1-800-858-6582. If you have unlimited long distance or a cell phone, please use 559-733-516. If you're listening to this broadcast online at firstamendmentradio.com using dial-up and do not have access to a second phone line at this time, I invite you to join me on the website at remnantofgod.org. Once there, look for that silver microphone on the top right side of the page. Click it. It'll bring you to the main page of the POGM audio chat directory, if you will, or menu, and click on the public chat room, the first one. And then you can go in there and you can ask questions and write in the text chat or even speak. It's an audio chat room, and it's free. And by the way, I also invite you to join us in this free audio chat room on the website Wednesday and Friday nights at 8 p.m. Central Time and Saturdays at 12 noon for fellowship, Bible studies, worship, or just general chit-chat. And don't worry, if you don't have a microphone, you can still use it. You can hear the people. You can listen in and use the text chat if need be. And if you can't make it at those times, again, don't worry. The chat rooms are open 24 hours a day. If nothing else, you can use it like a free long-distance phone service. So, getting back, what we've been doing here for the last few weeks is going over the prophecies that Jesus said must happen right before he returns. We're on the last one or two prophecies, I believe. A quick recap of the previous last the broadcast is the first one, of course, is where I shared information that most of us already know in regards to how Jesus said before he returns, his followers in Jerusalem must flee to the mountains and then Jerusalem will be destroyed. He mentioned that in Matthew 24, and then 40 years later, it happened in 70 AD, and then 1,100,000 men, women, and children died. Of course, those are the ones that stayed behind in the city and did not understand the prophecy that Jesus said, let him understand, because they weren't studying their prophecies. And there's only one prophecy they had to dig into in the book of Daniel, but they didn't. And so they were killed for it. And then, of course, the next prophecy Jesus spoke of, the followers of his truth, his message, or Christianity, would experience a great persecution or a great tribulation before he comes back. He mentions that in Matthew 24:21. And I shared some documented evidence, historic as well as biblical, that this great tribulation has indeed already occurred. It's just been, like, tucked away. People have been taught to ignore it because the Roman Catholic Church was involved in initiating it. Over 500 million Christians were burned at the stake, boiled alive, buried alive or burned alive or whatever, in the Inquisitions or the Crusades or just that 1,260 prophetic years of Revelation 12, 13, or even Daniel 7, where the dragon will attack the remnant people. And this, of course, as well, March 12, 2000, in the Pope's Mea Culpa, Pope John Paul II admitted this, in fact, is what happened. The Catholic Church did, in fact, kill those people. They admitted it. So this isn't something anybody needs to be convinced of anymore. No one can lie and say, no, 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 you're lying, because now their own Pope has admitted it. And then, but they call it like the Dark Ages or whatever now. But still, how could anyone look at a time in history as being not, mentioned or even touched on in prophecy, especially when over 500 million Christians are killed? And I get that figure 500 million from Fox's Book of Martyrs. I used to have with my research, I found like 50 million or 100 million or even 150 million is what I mentioned on my website in a few areas. Just recently, digging into the Fox's Book of Martyrs, it has been documented that over 500 million. were killed. And I'm not even counting the Vandals, the Heruli's, or the Ostrogoths. Those are three complete nations that were annihilated when Vigilius ascended the papal chair under the military protection of Belisarius, when the Roman Catholic Church became a church and a state at the same time. That's a woman on a beast. A woman in prophecy, as Jeremiah 6:2, means a church. A beast in prophecy, Daniel 7:23, means a nation. That's why Daniel said when he saw that last nation that was popping up, and he said in the end times, he goes, this is going to be totally different or diverse from any other nation because it's a mixture of a church and a state together. Absolute power, by the way, corrupts absolutely. And this is why they went and killed as many as they did. And then Jesus, of course, mentioned after the great tribulation, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give her light, and the stars will fall from heaven. And I shared a bunch of document evidences like from Yale University or Harvard University or even the Massachusetts Hall of Records or whatever, where they saw the sun stop shining, the stars fell, the moon was bloody, and all this other stuff. And this all happened directly after Napoleon sent in General Berthier in the year 1798, and the Pope died in exile. So directly after the Roman Catholic Church is done killing Christians, then these prophetic events happen. So that proves the Great Tribulation has already occurred. Jesus said, after a great tribulation, the sun will be darkened, the moon will be as blood, and the stars will fall from heaven. Well, it happened just like that after the Catholic Church got done killing the Christians. Well, they're not done yet. They're still doing it to this day. But in a massive global attack, when they would stop doing that, when that great tribulation was over, then these prophetic events would happen, which Jesus said in Matthew 24:29, and we prove just by using historic events. It's called a study of eschatology, where you match up historic events with dated prophecies. And so we already have this evidence. Now, there is a tribulation coming. I'm not saying there is not a we have the time of Jacob's trouble that's coming, and the short time of trouble just before that. So there is, and there will be martyrdoms again. We already know about the guillotines that are on U.S. soil. And I know a lot of people are going to have a hard time, you know, believing me on this, but I do have an article on the website, in one of my newsletters, where I speak about the 30,000 guillotines that are on U.S. soil at this time. And I will be bringing this up on the radio in the near future. But the fact of the matter is, the Bible does say that in the last days, if you don't receive the mark of the beast, you will have your head cut off. And everybody thinks, well, come on, this is barbaric. This is, you know, we're in the modern day. You know, we got all these modern inventions. If we want to kill somebody, we'll just use lethal injection or an electric chair. Think about this, folks. If you lethally inject somebody, or if you fry them in an electric chair, can you sell their cooked or poisoned kidney for $40,000? No, you can't. But if you lop their head off, you can keep that body alive indefinitely. If you don't believe me, walk into any large city hospital, you'll see people that are brain dead in comas that are alive because their chest is going up and down from a machine, and if their heart has a tendency to stop, the machine will, you know, if they want, they can spark it back. But if there's a do not resuscitate order, of course, they let the person expire. And then, when we had a few other prophecies that we covered, like the moon, the stars, and of course, that great global earthquake that must happen before all three of those events and before the dark day of May 19, 1780, there was a global earthquake in Lisbon in 1755. And then we went into the... and by the way, on my website there's a page called People Get Ready. It's a book I wrote. It has all this evidence right there for you to research. All the sources are there, page numbers, dates, everything. So it's just, I'm not pulling this out of a hat. This is stuff that's documented. And then we went into the prophecy about the trouble between capital and labor in the last days because of what James chapter 5 has to say about the monetary systems in our, you know, or the employer-employee relations. And, of course, in our day and age, you hear the word strike more often than you hear a lot of others. And then you got wars and rumors of wars. We all know about that. We're in the midst of war now. You got the next prophecy, of course, was distress, perplexity, and fear within all nations. And when you think of the war or the disease or the natural disasters, sure, you're going to have people, you know, clamoring for Prozac or any other kind of antidepressants. And then knowledge shall be increased, of course, Daniel 12. And it has been proven that knowledge went literally nuts after the end times began. I actually had quotes that stated that a wheel turned no faster in Hannibal's time than it did in George Washington. It took just as long to cultivate a wheat field in Egypt in 5,000 B.C. as it did anywhere in the turn of the 19th century. But then when the end time came and you started getting, like, these inventions, the steam engines and all this other stuff, it just went nuts. And we have seen things and inventions in our lifetime that I would be hard-pressed in just 1 hour to try to share with you all the things that I've seen in my lifetime, and I'm only in my 40s. And, of course, we have the prophecy regarding the people that will scoff or not endure sound doctrine. that is very apparent was just by seeing the way some of the laws are being enacted in our nation with atheists running about saying, you know, yeah, right, Jesus is coming, that's all well and good, but don't be saying in God we trust, you know, stuff like that. So you got scoffers all over the place, as well as people just more or less saying, even Christians, declaring that Jesus isn't coming back. In fact, in the book I do have an article that I found when I was a teenager. Wasn't even doing any research, and I found this when I was a teenager, where I can't remember exactly where it's on. I do have it documented in the book, but I remember they did a survey of a bunch of students, seminary students, asking them if they believed in the second coming of Christ. These were seminary students that were being taught how to be pastors and preachers, if you will, in the 70s. 98% of them did not believe he was coming back. That's in the 70s. Okay? These are your pastors, your ministers, and your preachers today. Now, they'll say they believe he's coming back from the pulpit, but look at the way they act and the way they do things in their life. They have no, they don't believe. They don't. They're more or less into the money situation. Case in point, the ultimate structure of a church would be small. That way the pastor would be a little bit more effective in affecting his people, you know, sharing with them the gospel message and helping them in times of need. But you've got churches that are 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 people in it. How are you going to be effective here? It's a money-making machine then. That's all it is. They're preachers of filthy lucre. Okay, and that, of course, is another prophecy. And then the next prophecy that we were into was the worldwide spread immorality and decline of spirituality. Just turn on regular TV. I'm not even going to talk about cable TV. We know about the decadence that runs rampant in there. But just regular TV alone has got what would be considered soft porn in the 70s or 60s or 50s. Today it's just, yeah, no big deal. And then we went into the prophecies of regarding, what was it, the craze for pleasure. Drugs alone. I mean, I didn't touch on drugs as much in this, but if you look at the way people are, they have a craze for pleasure. They're lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, it says in 2 Timothy. It's not even so much the resorts or the vacations and all this other stuff or even sex, but it's look at the drug situation. I mean, it's a $1 billion business. Some of the folks that preach on here on FirstAmendmentRadio.com will even, they've got all sorts of evidence to prove that in fact the drug culture was stopped in the United States of America, our economy would collapse. A lot of the stuff that goes on behind the doors in the stock market has to do with how we're actually, you know, buying and selling drugs. From what some of the guys I've been listening to, so amazing things that you hear on FirstAmendmentRadio.com because they're proclaiming truth. That's not going to be all doctored and filtered and, you know, twisted up to please the masses. And, of course, we had the one prophecy about no regard for law or bloody crimes and violence will be increased. That's just everyday run-of-the-mill USA, especially inner city. And then earthquakes, storms, pestilences shall increase. I remember last week we talked about this with the earthquakes. We had 21 major earthquakes in the course of 1,370 years, but when the end times began, we have 21 major earthquakes in the course of 84 years. They're increased big time. So, all right, now the prophecy we just started with today. And hopefully we can get through this week. If not, no big deal. We'll finish it up again next week. But what I would like to do, if I do finish this next week, I'm going to start with the characteristics of Antichrist. There's a lot of them. I've got like maybe a couple dozen major characteristics. Like, for example, I think it's around Daniel chapter 11, verse 43, where it says Antichrist will not be desirous of women. Look at the Roman Catholic priesthood structure. It's a total anti-woman setup, okay? But there's a lot more graphic ones, like with the woman on the beast and stuff like that. There's a lot of characteristics of Antichrist. A lot of people don't even realize are right there in your scriptures, and then you look in your history books. See, that's how I found out about Antichrist. I was Catholic. And I got sick and tired of people coming up to me and telling them I'm going to hell because I was a Catholic. And so I decided I'm going to go to the Bible and prove them wrong. Well, after a few months, I realized what they were telling me was true. I found things in that Bible that I was taught being a Catholic, raised in parochial school, went to Mass every Sunday, was a Eucharistic minister for the church. I even taught CCD for the church, said the rosary every day for 45 minutes. But I never touched the Bible because I was taught, you know, hey, it's just, it's not really truth. It's the traditions above it. And if you look at the catechism that I used to teach from, 86.2% of that book, the doctrines in it, you will not find them in Scripture. I know that particular number because I checked it out and I put it on the website because I wanted to, you know, I always had a feeling, you know, I know it's a lot of spurious doctrine, but how much? 86.2. And that's being generous, or gentle, if you will, because the percentage that I left behind, they were out of context when it was mentioned certain parts of the doctrines. And I still gave them the benefit of the doubt. And still kept it at low figure of 86.2. But yeah, I get into a little bit more detail on that on the characteristics of Antichrist page, which we'll cover over the next few weeks. I do have a couple of authors of some pretty powerful books that have already agreed to be on the show, but I'm trying to figure out when's the best time to do that. And I don't even want to tell you who the guys are, what the names of the books are, or anything like that. I have gotten the okay. They will do the show. I just don't want to jump the gun and say it, that they're going to be here, and then all of a sudden something happens where they can't be here. So just leave it at the fact that we've got some good things planned in the future. Okay, this prophecy, the gospel is to be preached worldwide in the very end. Matthew 24:14, of course, says, "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then the end shall come." This is another prophecy that has been fulfilled right before our eyes in many of all the Christians the world over. Have you ever searched for a pair of glasses all over your home and only to find them at the end of your nose? Or have you ever thoroughly ransacked a desk only to find the item right before you, right before your eyes all the time? I've done this a lot of times. Well, this next prophecy, this particular prophecy, is a lot like that. This is a prophecy that has actually been fulfilled right before our eyes, and most of us just miss it. What a glorious and magnificent prophecy is this one. To think that every nation will at one time hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. What an act of a loving and heavenly Father. God Almighty is holding back the final terrifying of seven last plagues to make sure his children hear his gospel truth, so as to become ready and willing when he and his son return to take us home. Listen to this. This is from Kenneth Scott Latouret, The Christian Outlook, New York, Harper and Brothers, 1948 edition, page 200 and 201. He says this: "As never before, it is possible to acquaint men the world over with the gospel. The many means of communication, the radio, the airplane, added to the seemingly more prosaic contributions of earlier days, the printed page, the railway, the steamship, and the automobile, makes physically feasible to reaching all men. Christian communities in almost every land and almost every tribe and nation provide, as never before, nuclei for the spread of the faith. The disintegration of the culture of cultures carries with it many lands the lessening of resistance of the gospel, like, for example, the Iron Curtain going down." But this is 1948, people. This is 1948. The possibilities of worldwide evangelism were indeed a basic fact at that time. However, looking forward 56 years into the future, 2004, we see that was once considered a mighty task, yet possible nonetheless, is now performed with such ease and finality that it literally boggles the mind. Think of it. Satellites transmit the gospel to veritably billions of televisions every day from one side of the planet to the other. Radio waves carry the message of Jesus worldwide instantly with more density than ever before in the history of radio. The Bible itself has been the number one bestseller for as long as they have kept track of the sales of books. And by the way, it still is considered the number one bestseller. But now when you look at a 10 bestseller list in a Barnes & Noble, it's actually the 10 best, or it's actually the 11 best. The Bible's always on the top, but they took it off now because they kind of got to the point where they started getting embarrassed at the fact that, okay, you got the Bible on top at all times, and you got stuff like Steven Spielberg's Carrie or all these titles that are disgusting, and there you get the Bible on top. So they decided, just get the Bible out of there. But it's still number one. Preachers from all walks of life are preaching the gospel from the darkest regions of Africa to the lofty Alps of Switzerland. Christians worldwide have all along been sharing the good news to family, friends, coworkers, and strangers at work or at play. These same Christians have been handing out tracts, booklets, pocket Bibles, commentaries, printed sermons, newsletters, Bible studies, cassette tapes, videotapes. I mean, it goes on and on and on. And now, thanks to the Internet, the gospel message is being broadcast by websites, flash animations, inside chat rooms, audio chat rooms, text chat rooms, private messaging, as well as email. And then look at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. That's a radio station that goes right across the globe on Internet and satellite. And I believe some of it is shortwave as well. The list is truly endless of all the methods the Lord is using to fulfill the prophecy that this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then the end shall come. As for all those nations that would allow or would it not allow Christians within their borders to preach? This, too, is an awesome fulfillment of this prophecy. With the destruction of the Iron Curtain, we now see hundreds and thousands of Christians sharing Jesus with everyone they meet in this once barricaded country. Since the fall of the Soviet Union, Russia is also allowing many Christians within its borders to spread the gospel from one city to the next. You know, not too many years ago, this was an absolute impossibility. Can you see the hand of an almighty God in this prophetic fulfillment? I mean, how can anyone dismiss this accurate fulfillment in today's world? The Lord prophesies that all nations will hear his gospel. But not long ago, we see that many nations would not allow his name even mentioned within their borders, and today, we see how it has come to be. Fact is, there are still some nations that do not allow Christ mentioned in their borders. Take Pakistan, or India, or even China, for example. Yes, there are many missionaries in those countries, irregardless of what their governments say, but with the internet being invented, now people in these countries, as well as, you know, can have complete and utter access to the gospel message within their very own homes. I know I get hits from China all the time in India. Because, you know, you can track your hits on your website. Has everyone that is supposed to hear the gospel heard it? Has the good news been preached to all the nations? I don't know. Nor is it possible for any man to know. For the scripture is plain, but of the day and the hour, no man knows. Not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only, Jesus said in Matthew 24:36. However, Jesus did say in Matthew 24:33 that when ye shall see all these things, be know that it is near, even at the doors. And so it is. I am convinced that many people that know these prophecies know that they are truth in its purest form. But their sinful lifestyle is so enticing to them that they choose to deny the truth right before their very eyes. These are the same people that fear opening their Bibles because of intense feelings of guilt. I know, I used to be one. They can't open their Bibles because they know the truth of God's Word will convict them. I know this, again, because I used to be one of those people. How can they not open the Bibles if they know it will save them from eternal destruction, you ask? I'm sorry, but I can't answer that question. Maybe it's the same old useless lying comeback. I will lose my friends, I'll lose my job, my lover, my money, my good times if I walk as Jesus would have me walk. Is this not an age-old comeback? The enemy of our faith is very cunning in making sure it will be very difficult to give up such things for Christ. He will place jobs or give them friends that they think that is more important than in eternal life itself. You know, think about this, especially you young people. You know, the devil's not going to pop up in front of you in all his hellish glory with, you know, rotted maggots and liver just ripping off of him and hand you a joint and go, come and party with me. You know, he's not going to do that. He's going to come up to you as your best friend. He's going to come up to you as some nice-looking little girl or some nice-looking young man. He's not going to come up to you as some crazed lunatic demon out of the pits of hell. Now, this may seem like a hard statement, but when you get down to it, that's exactly what what most people are doing. They're choosing their life here and their friends here rather than their eternal life. When they say they cannot give up certain things for that which Christ has to offer, they actually believe Jesus would mislead them. They can't believe that what he suggested as a healthy lifestyle would truly be good for them. You know, because I can remember years ago before I was a Christian, I used to think, oh, man, I'm no way going to be messing with that stuff. I can't do this. I can't do that. I can't do this. But yet I like to embrace all this paranoia I have way deep down inside, or this anxiety, or I'm always trying to find myself. You know? That always made me chuckle a little bit, but, you know, that's more or less what's going on. People are out there trying to fill this void that they have within them. They're created as spiritual beings, but they're trying to fill it with something. They're trying to fill it with drugs or sex or rock and roll, you know, whatever. And all they're really needing is right there in the Word. They open up that Bible and they find, hey, there's that peace. I like that bumper sticker I saw years ago. No peace, no Jesus. Or wait, no Jesus, no peace. And then it said, no Jesus, no peace again. But the first no is spelled with N-O. And the second, for the no and no, you know, the two no's, is spelled with K-N-O-W. Like, if you know Jesus, then you will know peace. I would never, ever go back to that life again. No matter, even if I was offered millions of dollars on an annual basis. Because the peace that is in Jesus, you just can't. There's nothing that matches this. You don't have to, you know, there's no more, ulcers Christians have the same amount of problems as non-Christians have. The only difference is we have peace during these problems. We know that they're, you know, the Lord's allowing it to help us grow. To be honest with you, I actually pray for trials and tribulations because I want my character changed to be more like Jesus Christ. Whatever it takes, Father, whatever it takes. I want to be part of the Gideon band that goes through the plagues of Revelation and glorifies the Father throughout all creation. All creation, not just this planet. Let's not be conceited, folks. Why would he create and raise all those planets out there in the Milky Way if there wasn't going to be life on them? Are you that conceited to think that we are all there is? I mean, think about it. Yeah, I mean, we're all supposed to reign with Christ on this planet because this is the only planet the devil was cast to. We're the ones that are the only ones that know the difference between good and evil. So are we going to reign over each other? I'll just leave it at that. So, some may want to follow Jesus as long as they didn't have to make any drastic changes to their walk of life. This is Roman Catholic theology to the core. They think that they can be saved in their sins. But my Bible says you are saved from your sins. But they want a God that would allow them to sin and still be considered heaven-bound. I see that in today's society every place I turn. People from all walks of life have decided that they will create a God in their image, a God that will okay their sin and still allow them to be holy. For example, there's all sorts, like with the gay lifestyle, for example. I know of churches in the Chicago area that everybody in the church is gay and the pastor is homosexual. And they're all heaven-bound, according to the pastor. It's just amazing. People will create a God in their image, a God that won't condemn them for they believe is doing the right thing, even if it means going in direct conflict with the word of the one true God. It's no wonder the next prophecy was easily fulfilled. People are starving for a God that will okay their sinful lifestyle so they won't. When they can't find it in the Word of God, they look to the stars. That's the next prophecy. See you after the break. Everybody, Nicholas, Presence of God Ministry, website www.remnantsofgod.org. If you feel you have something that might be a blessing to others, or you got a question or comment, 1-800-858-6582. Or if you have unlimited long distance or a cell phone, please call 559-733-5161 instead of the 800 number. And you can also go into the audio chat room that's on the website at remnantsofgod.org. Okay, like I said before the break, these people that are starving to try to fill that void that they have in their life, either with drugs, sex, or rock and roll, or whatever, some of them go so far as, they go so far as to try to create a God in their own image. And if they still can't get satisfied, they look to the stars. Astrology. This is the final prophecy that I mentioned in the book, People Get Ready. In the end, many people will turn to the seducing spirits and lies of the occult will be accepted worldwide. Okay, and these are more or less the major prophecies that, I mean, there aren't any others that are to this extent for the basic understanding of what's going to happen in our lifetime. Matthew 24:11 says, "And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. 1 Timothy 4:1 says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." Matthew 24:24 says, "For there shall arise false Christs, false prophets, and show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." And by the way, a lot of preachers remove if it were possible. They actually think the elect can be deceived. And then Revelation 16:14 says, "For they are spirits of devils working miracles." Do you watch TV? Do you not get annoyed by the numerous commercials advertising the 1-900 psychics? If you have ever been up late at night, you undoubtedly will notice that 80 to 90% of the commercials are dedicated to the psychics on every channel, in my area anyway. Or the phone sex stuff. Either way, it's all sin. We as a created human race have a spiritual side longing for our Creator and Almighty God. However, there are those people that for one reason or another have decided to seek spiritual guidance from another instead of looking to the God of the ages. King Saul did this in the book of Samuel. These so-called psychics are giving these people quick fixes to ease their spiritual longings, and at the same time taking them for every dime they can get. The Almighty warns us in His Word that this is to happen in the last days. But these lonely people refuse to read their Bibles and never find out what they are doing is extremely deadly to their souls. The devil has been pumping just enough garbage into their minds via the psychics to help keep them satisfied enough to ignore the truth about what's actually happening all around them. The Bible has been proven time and time again to be the most accurate prophetic book of all time, yet most people would rather believe the shallow lies of a money-hungry psychic than the tried and true word of a Creator God. If these psychics were so accurate, why are they not raking it in from the so many decadent forms of gambling available today? One would think that if they are truly psychic, it would be child's play to win the lottery or clean out a gambling casino or the dog races. Who knows? Simple fact, it's because they are not psychic. They merely found a way to make money that can be easily scanned from the lonely, answer-seeking, gullible public. People want to feel better about their lifestyle choices of sin, and the psychics give them the praise and reassurance that they so desperately hunger for. They feel like they're guilty of something. You know, I remember before I was a Christian, one of the main reasons I had all that paranoia in my heart, which no one really knew about, you know, because I shoot stick for a living, too. I was just a pool shark. And so I always had to play, you know, the confident kind of guy. But I had ulcers, like, you know, I was with all sorts of problems on the inside because I had this fear in me that someone was watching and I just wasn't doing it right. You know, that kind of a feeling. You know, and then when I became a Christian, I understood. Yes, He is watching you. He's watching all of us. But yet, the psychics, you know, getting back to that, these people the people come in there and they got all this guilt and all this other stuff, and then the psychic goes, "Oh, you know, you're great, you're doing wonderful, you know, here I got, this is what's going to happen to you tomorrow or the next day or whatever. Everything's hunky-dory." You know, if it keeps you out of the Bible for the answers, then the devil's plan has worked on that particular soul. And the whole time, this 1-900, I'm a liars, you can actually spell it out and get 7 digits, I'm a liar psychics, are conning you out of the hard-earned cash. You know, it's not just the little people that are affected by such lies as this. Many heads of nations are also guilty of acknowledging this prophecy fulfilled. Presidents and even first ladies have sought the counsel of psychics, channelers, and spiritualists. Spiritualism has invaded the churches of every denomination that teaches the soul is immortal, and people go immediately to heaven or hell at death. You know, this encourages the lie that maybe there is a spirit we could access, or a spirit world that we can access. Excuse me. This is in direct conflict with what the Word of God teaches about the state of the dead. You know, just a little, I want to jump over here I want to go to my Bible here for a second here. I want to show you something. I have a page on the website called The State of the Dead, or Where Do We Go From Here? But I want to jump to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 20 to 23. A lot of people don't even know these verses are in their Bibles because their pastors refuse to speak of them on the pulpits. Listen to what it says. Verses 20 to 23, it says, "But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." But, and he does say but here, It says, but every man in his own order. In other words, you got Elijah, Enoch, Moses, the 24 elders, or whoever, the people that came out of the grave, you know, when Christ resurrected. I mean, you got people up in heaven now. Those are the every man in his own order. It says, but every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterwards they that are Christ's at his coming. So unless the eastern sky is split, the world has ended, you go out to the graveyard, you're going to find a body in the casket. Dig it up, you'll see it. It's there. It's not in heaven. And yes, you have bodies in heaven. If you don't believe me, read about Jesus when he came back. He said, touch me, I'm not a spirit. I have flesh and bones. He ate fish and honeycomb. Moses, even the angel angel told Daniel that he was fighting over the body of Moses because the Father wanted him in heaven. Look at Elijah. He went up there with his body. Look at Enoch. Enoch walked with God. Yeah, that's right. Enoch walked with God. So he's up there physically. Flesh and bones. You know, psychics are sought out in every walk of life today. Teachers, lawyers, doctors, nurses, priests, preachers, housewives, teenagers. Every face you see may have already wasted some money going to a psychic for a life-filled answer. Many of our own presidents admit to seeking the counsel of psychics. Hillary Clinton herself believes she has the ability to conjure up dead past first ladies for motherly or sisterly advice. Okay, I don't mean to chuckle, but it's sad when you think of that. The Reagans did it as well. Do a little research yourselves. You will find some rather surprising results as to who actually believes the garbage these false prophets of our day spew out of their lying mouths. What's worse, the ones making laws in the country and many other countries rely heavily on these spirit guides telling them. Is this not an easy way for the enemy of Christ to get exactly what he needs to get done since the mark of the beast is enforced? Think of the John Edwards. Oh, that is so graphic. I mean, that guy, he's looking at it. He knows the person's names and all of a sudden. Look at the way he plays the crowds, but still, he is communicating with demons. Yes, it's the spirits working miracles. The devil, spirits of devils. We are now seeing this as well on a daily basis. How many have watched the media back in 1996 go crazy covering an event that started in India that within days was reported happening in every nation on earth, including the USA? I saw this with my own eyes. I got this out of a channel. It was on Channel 15, 2755 in the Danville, Urbana, Champaign area in Illinois. Back on March 10, 1996, this little article that this is televised news broadcasts on all channels across the nation reported and filmed stone carvings of Hindu religious icons actually drinking milk from spoons placed under the nose of the stone image. I saw this with my own eyes. A young Indian woman placed a teaspoon of milk under the nose of a small statue about 7 or 8 inches high, and right there on the TV, I saw that thing suck the milk up off that spoon. The most popular of all these miracles done by devils would have to be what happened in 1915 or 1917 in Fatima, Portugal. The so-called Virgin Mary was sighted by three children and has done so many so-called miracles since then. As a matter of fact, the demon that called itself the Virgin Mary has been popping up everywhere across the globe. The most popular still to this day is Lourdes, France, where a 14-year-old girl saw the Virgin Mary back in 1858. From the Microsoft Encarta Funkin' Wagnall thing that I got here, it says, each year millions visit the grotto in 1858. A 14-year-old girl named Bernadette Soberius, later called St. Bernadette, claimed to have visions of the Virgin Mary. The waters of an underground spring in the grotto are believed to have miraculously healing powers, and a basilica completed 1876 in a large underground church are at the grotto. And there's also some information about the Marian shrines, the icon of Our Lady, or the apparitions of Mary, but I mean, we have all seen the media ablaze with such stories as miracle healings due to some painting of Mary that has blood or tears coming from the eyes. But I ask, how is it possible for Mary to be doing anything today? She is most certainly dead, is she not? She is not yet resurrected with the other true Christians that are dead in Christ because Jesus has not yet returned. The Bible is plain in its teachings of what happens to the person once they have died. Psalm 6:5 says, for in death there is no remembrance of thee. In the grave, who shall give thee thanks? It appears rather plain to me here. The dead seem to be just that, dead. It even says in Ecclesiastes, neither have they any more portion of anything that has anything that's done under the sun. That's Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 6. First Timothy chapter 6 also says in verses 15 and 16, which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light, which no man can approach, unto whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. You know, here's where the plane, the dead just seem to be dead. Dead. They can't remember, they can't thank anyone, they can't praise God, they can't think, they can't even dream, because the verse says his thoughts perish, all their abilities have perished, the dead know not anything. And then, again, Ecclesiastes says, neither have they any more portion in anything that happens under the sun. The Bible is stating that the dead can in no way take part in anything that happens under the sun. The New Inconsistent Version, most people call the NIV, that Bible actually translates that verse, never again will they have any part that happens under the sun. Pretty plain, is it not? Did you also notice that 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 16 says that the King of kings and Lord of lords is the only one that has immortality? We will receive immortality once Jesus gives it to us at the sound of the last trumpet, not before. Every man in his own order. The others did get it because they had a different order to go. We've got Rick on the phone from Florida. How you doing there, brother?
Hey, I'm doing pretty good there, Brother Nick. I'll make it quick because you are covering some very, very important information. And I know the Lord is using you to get this word out. And there's many people that are thankful for your power and strength that you show when you get on the air like this. You know, I know I couldn't do it. I just don't have the...
Thank you, brother.
The ability to do that. But
I praise the Lord for it. I mean, that's...
Yes, all the grace and glory goes to the Lord.
Amen.
And you do that consistently. And may God bless you. And I wanted to throw something in real quick, why it's important for people to read the Bible and look to Jesus. And he will, you know, if you knock on that door, he will come. And he'll help you. That Holy Spirit will guide you.
Mm-hmm.
He's been working in our lives, in my family's life, recently, and we're very thankful for that. I did want to mention something real quick. 2 Thessalonians 2:11, and for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion.
Oh, yeah.
They should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. This is a very powerful verse, and I'm sure explain it better than me, but I see this happening more and more, and this is why your radio station and what you're saying is important to get out to these people and let them hear the word. I'm going to let you carry on, sir. I appreciate everything, Nicholas, and bless you and bless your family.
Thanks again, Rick. God bless you, brother. Thanks again.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye. Amen. That is a very powerful verse. I use it a lot on the street, as a matter of fact, because a lot of people can't understand. They say, you know, how can you be right and I know for a fact I'm right? How can we both be right? As you understand the terminology of the word strong delusion. I mean, if you jump back a few verses before that, it says, even him who's coming, and by the way, a lot of people think that Jesus Christ will come back with a secret rapture, and then Satan will attack the people for 7 years. They take it, the 7-year prophetic event that happens back and started in the year 30 AD and it ended in the year 36 AD. Anyway, if you jump back, it says, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all powers and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness, and then that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them a strong delusion that they should believe a lie. The reason they're getting a strong delusion is because they don't love the truth. And just look at that with the 7-year trip thing here. So, everybody thinks that when Jesus comes back, then Satan comes. But it says here, Satan attacks first, and then Jesus comes back. Verse 9, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all powers and signs and lying wonders. When Satan does that false revival, and that mark of the beast garbage and all that stuff, then Jesus comes after that. It says even coming is after the working of Satan. But that verse isn't preached in a 7-year tribulation church. It won't be preached in the secret rapture church. or a pre-trib church. We got Joe on the phone from Indiana. How you doing, Joe?
Hi, Nick. I've been listening to you the last couple of weeks, and you really got some interesting stuff here. I'm kind of worried about those guillotines, but that's not why I called. I called to ask you if you thought that movie, The Passion, had any connection with spiritualism, as you were talking about earlier.
Oh, yeah. It's mostly Roman Catholic mysticism and stuff like that in that movie as well. And the movie, I don't know if you're aware of this, is based on the visions of two Roman Catholic nuns that lived maybe 100 or 200 years apart from each other that Mel Gibson believes in extremely strongly. This is Mel Gibson, the same man that is thinking about doing Lethal Weapon 5, as well as Mel Gibson, the man who handpicked the women, the three women that played Mary Magdalene, the wife of Pontius Pilate, and he also picked the, what was the other woman? Mary, that's right, Mary herself. But yeah, it's plain, and by the way, those women, not Mary, the one that plays the mother of Jesus, but those other two women, that's right, Satan. The woman that plays Satan, Mary Magdalene, and the woman that plays the wife of Pontius Pilate are porn stars, pornography stars in Europe. And so Mel Gibson's a really religious man, from Catholic standards, the church standards. But yes, it is getting the people ready. It's an ecumenical movement. If you notice, the last couple of years with this homosexual situation and the pedophilia, or the child molesters, I like to call them, better than just call them pedophilia. Pedophilia is making it too gentle. They are child molesters.
Right.
Yeah, and they needed to get this bad PR out of the way, and so now they come out with this movie, The Passion, and it's getting the people ready. I do believe that, like with the Protestants that come into these movies, and I had that Newsweek article, I think it was Newsweek or Time Magazine, that said, why is it all these Protestants are flocking to a known Roman Catholic movie? Well, it's because the ecumenical movement has to work for this global church to work. June 26, 2000, the Pope was elected the leader of the One World Church. And it has to work. So he has to get the people to look at Roman Catholicism as correct. I've got Baptist pastors, Lutheran pastors, Mennonites, Pentecostals, from all the TV preachers are all saying the same thing. This movie is strictly biblical, and it's not.
Right. Yeah, it's just amazing.
Yeah.
I don't know where people have their heads these days, but they're...
the hat rack.
Yeah. Maybe it's because they just don't read their Bible, and they don't know. Or if they do know, they just don't want to see it.
Yeah.
It's sad. Well, anyway, I really enjoy your program, and...
thanks, Joe.
I'm anxious to hear what more information you have for us. So keep it up.
Well, thanks for tuning in.
All right, thanks.
You
bye.
Take care. God bless. Okay. Well, that was nice. Yes, that movie, it's... I fear for the people that are, like even in the small towns, I live near a small town that hasn't hit this theater yet, and I know it's going to hit the theater, I know the people are going to flock to it. And I think it's the greatest thing since sliced bread. And because it's Hollywood again, taking biblical information and just glorifying it old past the truth so as to keep the Bible boring. You know, it used to be the Bible was the most sensational book there was. You couldn't put it down. You got really interested, not only because of the stories, because of the truth that would get that blood pumping in your veins, you know, And then when Hollywood gets his hands on even with the biblical stories, I mean, they do all these crazy movies with this, you know, these special effects and explosions, all this other stuff, so that when you finally get to a Bible, you think it's too boring. You'd rather have the special effects. But I remember when I was a kid watching the Ten Commandment movie with Charlton Heston, showing Charlton Heston doing all these mighty miracles and showing him taking that staff and sticking the staff out. Right when he sticks the staff out, the water splits in half, you know, the Red Sea and all that, and they go across. That's not what happened, folks. The Bible says a strong east wind blew all night long. And then that strong east wind blowing all night long finally separated the waters. And then they were able to walk across. And it didn't walk across with just like maybe 50 abreast. It would take 5,000 people abreast, you know, 5,000 people across to walk across in one night. I shared that at a convocation in California a few weeks ago. I showed how, I call it like a little miniature track I made about the crisis of faith, if you're going through one, and see what they actually went through in the desert to realize that the Lord will take care of you when he says he will. Like when the day comes that you cannot buy and sell, you're not going to have a problem with worrying about where your next meal is going to come from. Your bread and your waters shall be sure, it says in the scriptures. All right, but getting back, here's another aspect of the psychic ability to be able to get people to believe in this malarkey that there's a life after death immediate and your dead grandma standing next to you at the end of your bed. The demon that was beside your grandmother all her life knows what she looks like, knows what she smells like, knows her mannerism, knows how she talks, knows how she walks, everything. And I'm not saying your grandma's demon-possessed. It's saying, you know, we know that one-third of heaven fell. We know there's a demon messing with everybody. There's always one demon for, you know, there's always something, you know, the demon's going to mess with everybody. We're all getting tempted. We know this. And these demons are angels who have the ability to memorize just by reading a book if they wanted to. You know, like we used to have that ability before the before the flood of Noah. Science has proven that. The human brain was created to store a heck of a lot than we got in there. Science will tell you we're only using like, what, 1/8 of it or 1/18th or something. I can't remember what the exact figure is, but think about this. I've run into people that have had actual friends that have had this experience. I had a life-after-death experience, and I saw an angel of light at the end of a tunnel. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14 says, "And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light." It's pretty amazing when you can find the answers to literally all the questions man can have in the Bible. Yet man decides he doesn't need to read it. This is one of the reasons the occult is running rampant. People have been so conditioned over the years to believe in the lies of Satan that when the films like Harry Potter come out, they see no wrong in subjecting their children to it. You know that thunderbolt on Harry Potter's forehead is a satanic symbol? Look at the man Kiss, the two thunderbolts for S's. Look at the Book of Magic. It's a symbol for Satan. You know, by the way, that film is an open fulfillment to this prophecy. The woman that wrote those stories, Harry Potter, is a professed witch. And thanks to the people of this world being so conditioned to embrace her lies, she has also become the first woman author that became a billionaire in England. Where you get like a 60% tax right off the bat. We get 64% in this country, I believe, after you buy everything. Let me ask you this. Besides the obvious fact that the Bible identifies this angel of light as Satan, why do so many people believe that Almighty and ever-living God can actually make a mistake? Do you honestly believe that God Almighty would slip up and allow someone to die, and then us puny little created race of humans have to correct the mistake of God by bringing that deceased back to life? You messed up, Lord. Shut and let him kick off. Or we as a puny human race are able to convince the omnipotent creator God that he messed up. You know, put it that way. Pretty amazing how well we think of ourselves. And thereby, what we are doing must bring our dead loved one back to the land of the living. Have we become that conceited in our own abilities that we have surpassed God in our hearts? It's the last day, people. The last days. Whether you believe the warnings in the Word of God or not makes all the difference. The Lord will return soon, and if you still don't believe it, read up on how the people of Noah's day didn't believe it to get an idea of what your fate will be. They didn't believe Noah at the time, whether when he proclaimed that the end was near. They laughed at his claims as well. They didn't believe a single word he said. I can imagine some of the guys going at the bar and says, "Hey, man, let's go to Noah's house and spit on him, make them think it's raining." The last days. Their disbelief stopped the now scientifically proven worldwide flood from wiping them off the face of the earth? No. They all died just as Noah warned they would. This is Nicholas from Presence of God Ministry saying, thanks for listening. Hope to see you next week. Stop by the site, www.remnantofgod.org. Thanks go out to FirstAmendmentRadio.com for allowing the present truth to be broadcast freely. Don't forget to catch the rebroadcast of this show on Wednesdays at, I believe it's 2 p.m. Central Time. See you next time, everybody. God bless.